This is a Pod Dealers Network podcast.
Good news. I heard that Trump recently won his legal case and is getting his Twitter account reinstated. So the drought is over. Jokes are on deck. They're coming, folks.
What is TWS podcast episode, whatever? Who cares at this point?
The rant with the vindicator.
It's my podcast. I do what I want to.
People, listen.
Word, is it still alive?
It's not working for me, Rich. We're going to keep going.
I know I changed my voice at work.
Bars on the radio.
What is TWS podcast?
One's ready.
I feel like the end is
staring at my watch and I'm feeling so new school.
Suicide attempts, how many tries to take?
Damn, ready.
Mickey Fax was in the same room with Joey when he got punched in the eye. I blame it on the skinny jeans. I blame it on the skinny jeans because he couldn't react fast enough. Because his legs was all caught up in the skinny.
I hate skinny jeans.
Yes, sir. Wise words from the man, Royster 5'9". Welcome to another episode of the What Is TWS podcast. As always, I'm your boy, J.Dot Flam, representing the White Pan Society. And I got to thank you for, you know, lending me your ear, giving me a little bit of your time to talk through some stuff. We're going to have some fun today and just talk about nothing important, something that's so unimportant that it's hilarious. But I got a guest joining me again. I got my man Jay from Pod Dealers Network and Saturday Series. What's going on with you, Jay?
Hey. What's up, man? What's up?
Yeah. I thought I would start with that one. Because, you know, maybe that lends something. Maybe that was the beginning of the beef. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I forget. I see that's one of my favorite skits or, like, interludes.
Oh, yeah. I love
just
that
legs
song.
Being all caught up in skin.
The I Hate Your Pants song. It's one of my favorites. Yeah, Royce is... Everybody knows how I feel about Royce. So as we get into this discussion, I'm biased. Of course I am, but it is what it is. But anyway, checking in with you, Jay. How's everything going?
Everything is good, man. Like, new developments here and there out in the world. I'm watching. I don't know if people have decided that the coronavirus is over. Because now it's getting to the point to where I wear a mask out in the world that people look at me as if I'm the one who is sick or will be sick. And I'm like, wait, y'all don't have a mask on. Just use it. But when I was like, but outside of that, yeah, man, just really working on not going back to the office. It's just like not wanna realizing that the pandemic has brought out my full introvert superpowers. Yeah. So now the idea of being around rooms full of people make me not want to do that.
Yeah. People have no idea that this was like heaven for an introvert. We was not annoyed in the slightest at any point during the whole thing. And the fact that things are returning to whatever we want to call normal these days is like, fuck, damn.
Yeah.
This shit again? Like, you know.
For sure. But it's 100%.
I'm in the same boat with the mask. Like, I keep one on me, you know, because I still ride public transportation, and it's required here in Texas on the buses that you wear a mask. And just in case, like, when I get into an elevator and stuff, like, you know, if I see somebody with a mask, I'm going to throw my mask on, too. I don't know. I guess I feel like a superhuman or something. I'm vaccinated, so I'm like, man, whatever. Like, but according to the new guidelines, I guess it's still not so much wearing the mask to protect yourself if you're vaccinated. It's that you can still carry the same viral load as somebody who is sick. And so you could still pass it on to others. So I'm trying to be a good human. That's hard to do these days. Like, the definition of a good human varies from person to person. Like,
yeah, no, it's super subjective.
Yeah.
it's like, what is good? Yeah. Like, that's kind of what it is for me, too. It's like, but most of the time when things like this happen, I tend to be on the asymptomatic side. So that was why I got vaccinated, just to be like, I don't know if I whatever. If if I got it and didn't know, we about to find out with these needles. So that was a whole thing. And then, yeah, it was kind of one of those things too, because also both of us live in the South, or I live in Virginia. People debate if this is the true South or not, but nonetheless, this is Southern from where we're from.
Yeah.
And the white folks, I appreciate y'all, but y'all have decided to just, we don't give a shit about masks.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't know who's out here fully vaccinated or not, because I've seen a lot of the same white people just be like, nah.
I mean, these are the same people that wasn't washing their hands when they used the bathroom before all this started. So, you know.
Yeah.
It's a jungle out there.
For sure.
Quick Chef Elise update.
Okay, what's going on?
I had her this weekend. We had a really good time. We went to the aquarium. We did some Chef Elise stuff. She made what she calls a Hawaiian smoothie tea party. Like, she's really getting dope with the garnishes and stuff on things. So she she's in the table settings and stuff. So she put together, you know, her version of something. And it was pretty cute, you know, for a 5-year old. And I'm proud of her. The weird thing though is she's gotten into this ain't thing. I don't even know where she got ain't from, because I normally try to speak, you know, the way I want my child to speak in front of her. So I'm guessing, you know, somewhere else she picked up ain't. And it was funny at first, because I took her to go buy something, and she's like, oh, I ain't buying that, and I ain't buying that, and I ain't buying that. And I was like, dope. All right, we not buying that. I appreciate you. But then it got into like, we ain't doing that, and we ain't doing this. And I was like, what ain't? Where did this come from? And she's like, she hit me with the, like, dad, you should know. Like, I'm shocked that you don't understand this concept already. She was like, ain't is a Texan word. And I was like, okay.
Oh, okay, cool. Because I thought she was trying to, like, pull your black card for a second.
Nah, she ain't pulled it back. She pulled my Texas card. And I was like, I bet you can have that, because I'm not a Texan. I'm not from here. Was born here, so that's you. You can have that all day. Say what you please. But, yeah, you know, me and Chef Elise had a good time. It's always a great time when she's around.
For sure.
But yeah, I had to get that out the way before we got into the recklessness. People beefing over, you know, the pandemic, whether COVID is over. I saw the Lollapalooza photos of that crowd. Yeah,
insane.
So obviously, it's a lot of people who don't give a fuck. But lesser of importance beefs. Rappers is getting into it all of a sudden. And like rappers, I didn't expect to get into it. So
yeah.
Over the past week, we saw two of my favorites, Royce da 5'9" and Lupe Fiasco, enter into something. I didn't even think it was real at first. Like I saw like Instagram post about them dropping diss tracks against each other, and like the podcast possibly being over. I never really listened to the podcast. I feel kind of bad about that, but I didn't. I think I tried to listen to it once or twice, and It seemed tense. Like it did seem like they would be like low key taking shots at each other, but then on some like friendly, you know, I couldn't tell the whole time whether like they like each other, they don't like it. Is this two dudes that are so cool that all they do is talk shit to each other, or are they not that cool and don't realize what's going on at the moment? You know,
I think it was the latter, but yeah, I felt the same way.
Yeah. So, but I took a listen to these diss tracks, and it seems real. It seems really real. Not on some, you know, East Coast, West Coast type stuff, but on some, we really don't fuck with each other. The podcast is over. You know, I think you're a nerd. I don't really know what Lupe's stance is. His diss record was kind of weird, but I don't know. Have you paid attention to it at all?
So I have been following them separately on like two different accounts. I think I follow like Lupe on the Pod Dealers account, and then like Royce from the Just Say Words account. And I was like, I had to go back through and like piece these things together, because they were two dudes. I think something had happened. This was well before the argument or whatever the beef was caused by, but they was doing this thing where they would like post old videos of them getting like shout outs from people.
Okay.
So it would be like somebody say Royce is dope, or like Royce would post a bunch of videos like he had did for those Prime albums and stuff like that. So I saw that, and then it was like Mickey Fax kind of doing the same thing, and I was like, what is it? I was like, is Mickey Fax if Royce going at it, or I know that Mickey Fax's allegiance is to Lupe because Lupe was the first one, like, really bring him on like these big tours and teach him the game, I guess, like as far as tour life is concerned.
Yeah.
So I kind of knew where that kind of came from. Then I essentially had saw the situation where they were kind of talking about like, you can't rap better than me.
Yeah.
Now, granted, like, if you're a hip hop fan, you run across anybody who's always saying they're the best. That's just something that we do, like, or something that most people do in the culture, right? Where they're just kind of like, yeah, I'm the best. I am the best. You got, if you think you're the best, you got to come see me. Well, fair enough. Nobody's taking that away from me, right? And then I had saw, and I'm a big, I don't care about your Instagram live person. I don't care that you went live, but something was like, I scrolled by and it went, I got two notifications. It was like, Mickey Fax is going live, Royce da 5'9" is going live. And I was like, all right, let me go see what's up. And so it's just them two going back and forth about, you know, Royce is kind of explaining his side of what's happening between him and Lupe. And then they, like, it just, like, the conversation had, like, switched into, Mickey Fax kind of was like, well, you said my name and I just want to make sure we good. And it went from like, yeah, we good, but if you going to rap, you're not going to rap better than me.
Right.
And then I was like, wait, what happened?
Is that the one that Joe Budden jumped on?
No, I don't. If he did, I jumped on. I didn't stay on that long. I think I stayed up there maybe all of 10 minutes because it was just them kind of doing this thing. But I think that was after that, whatever Royce had put out.
Yeah.
And I didn't see it. I'm also one of those people where if the thing gets posted a lot, my brain just automatically like doesn't see it.
I'm with you.
Where I'm like, if I see, like, that's either the thing like the internet has done where like they post the same thing so many times to where you like either didn't pay this attention or you had to loop back around and be like, this person died. Like, why are there so many pictures of this person up here? That's what happened. And then I was like, now I have to go back and do research. And I think I was tagging you in the stuff because I was like, I don't know what's happening, but this seems like something that would interest you for sure. So
yeah, no, it caught me completely off guard. And from what I've been able to piece together, like they had it, they've the two dudes have never met like physically, like in person.
Right.
Like they've only connected during this, you know, pandemic time, you know, over these lives. And then it's really bothering me. Like how these, like, cause Royce to me, Royce comes across as like the reformed gangster. Like, you know, like he led a life that was a certain life and he can always revert to that life. I mean, and Jay says the same kind of stuff. Like, don't make me flashback, you know, don't make me relapse, you know, and Royce comes across the same way. And then like now he's, you know, peace and, you know, just trying to get along with everybody and do the right thing. But like these like super gangster dudes are on these lives like a lot. Like it got to the point I was trying to follow it like for like journalistic integrity, like just so I understood exactly what the fuck was going on. And at certain points, like I'm looking at too many videos of dudes like FaceTiming each other. Like this is not fitness with my toxic masculinity. Like this is not working for me. I can't keep feeling like a dude and I'm watching dudes like phone calls or shit. Like, you know, it was,
yeah, it feels weird, right?
It got super weird. And they just kept doing it. And it would be like five people on the same call. I think Los jumped in there at one point and then like Daylight's on there. But it seemed like the jump off point was they were talking about who's the greatest rapper or what the criteria is for who's like the greatest rapper. And and Lupe got in his bag. He's been doing this thing with EOW. I don't even know what it stands for. EOW. End of the week or something like that, but it's like a battle thing. But they make them go through all the different like hip hop checklists. Like you gotta freestyle, you gotta battle, you gotta. I haven't watched it, so I don't even know what you wanted. What it is they make you do? It does seem like some overtly nerdy. It's like if you had to nerd up rap, this would be the way to do it. Like I have all these different subgenres, and you gotta do all these different, meet all these skills or whatever.
It's like Ninja Warrior or rap.
Yeah, Ninja Warrior or rap. Just like, who thought of this? But I can see it being dope. Like if, you know, I tried to write and tried to do it at one point. I never tried to freestyle, but I could see myself appreciating people like going through these skill challenges. It's like, really, mm-hmm. you know, for hip hop. And I guess Royce didn't agree with that criteria. And then at some point, Loaded Lux, a battle rapper, and I think, I don't even know who the other dude was. They got Lou on the phone and they was trying to arrange like a battle on Smack or URL, one of these sites right. between Royce and Lupe. And then when Lupe joined the conversation, he did, he was giving off energy. First he got on the thing with no shirt on. And I saw a girl like ask, like, why did that trigger people that he was on? Because everybody was like, put a shirt on, nigga. Like, what like, before you start before you start talking, put a shirt on.
Yeah, get dressed.
And she was like, why did that bother them so much? Like, you know, she was taking it to a masculinity standpoint. Like, why are they so triggered by a dude with no shirt? And I had to explain, and somebody did explain to her, like, a dude with no shirt almost seems like they doing the tough guy flex. Like, look at me, look at my muscles or whatever, like, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, why are you talking to me with no shirt on? Like, it's borderline disrespectful. Like, you know.
That's true. That's fair. I can rock with that.
Yeah, depending on your relationship with that person, don't get on a FaceTime with me with no shirt. That's either sexual or aggressive. One of the two, and I'm not cool with either one of them.
Yeah, it's really no middle ground.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's never really a time where you're like, yeah, man, you know, I just had to talk. Like, yeah, yeah. And if you're tank top, if you got on a tank top and it's too small, we don't like that either.
We don't like that either. Yeah, now put you. Have clothes on when you talk to me. Like, don't call me. Side note: don't call me from the bathroom. Don't call me same. When you first got out, just got out the shower. None of that.
Yeah, like, nah. Yeah,
I need you to be fully dressed. You know.
Yeah, but just talk to me in a suit.
Yeah, or don't mention it. It definitely don't. I hate people that be in the bathroom and got to tell you. Like, I wouldn't have known if you had said nothing, and now it's uncomfortable.
Yeah, now I'm hanging up. Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah.
Don't let me hear a toilet flush or something. That's
oh my god, no, that's real.
But yeah, it got real after that. I think at some point, Royce was just like, you could tell Royce was, he was relapsing a little bit. He was like, bitch, just rap. You know?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, you can't throw that word out there. That's damn the equivalent to, you know, suck my dick. Like, one of, you know, you call a dude a bitch in the wrong voice, and you say that in the wrong voice. And,
yeah.
And things got to happen. So, I don't know. Yeah, tracks started coming out after that conversation.
Yeah, for sure. So, that's kind of where I was. Piecing it together with that live, not that particular live. I think that's the live with him and Mickey Facts. But I ended up listening to some other podcasts that were kind of in this stage too, where they were like, "I don't know what's happening." So yeah, so there was a mixture of one. I think they had gotten into an argument on the podcast about the vaccine.
Oh yeah, yeah, because Lou was connected with some with a campaign to promote vaccination, and I think.
Okay.
Royce right. is anti-vax right now.
So then when I went to the live, I think, I won't say he was capping a plea, but it was more or less like Royce was kind of trying to explain his side, which was they had, people had been coming to Lupe to battle and he would shut it down. Don't talk to me about it. I don't want no parts of it.
Yeah.
Leave it alone. I'm cool. Like, don't even... We could still converse, but I don't want to, don't try to secretly put me in no battles. So I guess these other people, right, who you're talking about with the battle criteria, went and talked to Royce. And because he was hearing them out, it made it seem like, well, if we do this show together or we work together in some capacity, and you know where I stand on don't talk to me about battling, and you go talk to my co-host or my homie, and he giving it some light or giving it some shine, then it feels like, yo, you're doing it behind my back, and that's not fair. Like, all right, so if I've been telling you I'm not rocking with it, I don't want no parts of it, and you like, well, look, they came to me and said something, blah, 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 here's a dollar amount, I don't give a shit. I told you I ain't with it. Like, I don't give a fuck what you think is finna happen. Like I'm not with it. And I can see how to, like, then you know, you kind of ambush me on this live where I show up and everybody here, like, all right, so look, this is what they talking about. This is the details. We have had conversations on air and off where I've told you I'm not with this battle shit. So, like, what is the... Why are we even having this conversation? So, I can see the whatever. So, then, yes, to your point, one man just rap, bitch. Then, like, or bitch just rap. Then, yeah, then I'm like, now, see, you doing something else now.
Yeah, yeah.
Because now you took it somewhere else where I'm like, now, I didn't even want to do this. And it's and to your point, these are people who can roll out of bed and give you bars.
And we got bars. I think Royce was saying, like, Yeah, the conversation was brought to him as if they had already talked to Lou. And it was like, mm-hmm. and he was just like, all right, whatever. Like, if you want to do it, I'm with it. If you don't want to do it, I'm with that as well. But, like, just set it up, whatever it is. And then when Lou got on the live with no shirt on, and he was definitely, like, amped and a little aggressive. Maybe he was already in, like, his feelings, like you said. Like, if you know I ain't about this, you shouldn't even be entertaining this conversation. You know, that's the energy he came onto live with. And Royce's stance mm-hmm. was like, if you felt like I was doing something behind your back, to think I'm a phone call away. You just, you know, this could have been settled with a phone call. You could have called me and we could have hashed it out. You get on the live flexing, you know, talking mm-hmm. shit. And it's like, hey, bitch, just rap. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, don't, I'm not the one. They both have this, like, I'm not the one.
Yeah, right.
You know, stance. Like, you know, like, whatever aggressiveness you bring to me, you shouldn't bring that to me. Bring that to some other dude, but not me. But yeah, it got real fast. Royce did like this 9-minute freestyle or whatever that I think was targeted toward not Royce. Lou did a 9-minute freestyle that I think was targeted toward Lou on. Did I say? I don't know. Lupe.
Yeah. Lupe
did a 9-minute freestyle targeted toward Royce on a live, and then that's when the diss tracks came out. So it got, but we got a bar. I chopped up a little bit of them. I ain't really going to the Mickey Facts one. And I guess I'll explain Rob real quick. I think Mickey Facts got baited into this. Like they was sunning him. Him and Joe Budden had him on a live, and they was really on some "who are you to even be talking to me" kind of vibe. And I could see how that could rub a person the wrong way if you think. And you know, I don't know Mickey. I don't follow his music at all. I definitely believe he can rap, but you know, he's not in my like pantheon of greatest rappers or whatever. And I guess Joe and Royce felt like he had no place in this conversation, so that's where his thing came from. And it was just too much. If anybody's a nerd in this situation, Mickey Facts.
Yeah, okay, I'll give you that. So I am. Yeah, I'll say I'm a Mickey Facts fan because I was like, wait. I was like, am I not? And I was like, no, I got way too many mixtapes and albums to say that I'm not. But I do pay attention to what he was doing. I was very interested into this stuff because he had also like taken the time. So he created this character, for lack of a better term, it is called Mickey Mouse. But it's about like this. It's about this painter in the 80s or something like that. And so like this character, awarded him all these other things with like art museums, all this other stuff that he was saying, right? And so in that same live with Royce, he was just like, what have you done like in rap? Like who like says your name? Like who challenges you in the booth, right? And to be honest, if you're looking at the lineup, it's just like when you look at sports, right? Yeah. So he's like, well, he was like, you know, I'll write in a booth with like some people. And so he was like, well, like who? Like Royce is like, name them. And he's like, well, you know, like I've written in the booth with like Fonte. We're like, okay, that's cool. Like, that's good. Then he like, he started naming some other people. He's like, oh, I'm normally right by myself, which I get it. Most of the time you're an indie artist. You don't, you might not have the same circle as somebody else. Right. Cause Royce is also doing that thing where like, I am respected in studios with people who do stuff. So he was like, I sat in the studio with Crooked Eye, and I sat in the studio with Joel Ortiz and Eminem and Dr. Dre and all these other people, right? So it's hard for you to I can see how you like, I won't get out of bed for a dude who sits in the studio with Asher Ross and it's somebody else, right?
Asher's like, nice though, he got bars.
Yeah, right. So it's like some people do like that, but I mean, if you're comparing it to like, it's just like, you know, you look at the Lakers lineup versus like,
right.
You know, Sacramento Kings, you're like, I'm not getting out of bed for this game. Like, so that kind of thing is what happens to these people. And I get how they can feel like that. Like, oh, you had, especially Joe Budden does this thing where he's like, oh, who are you or whatever. And I get it. I absolutely understand it. This time in the game, it's all like, you know, it's all a formula. Time in the game plus what have you done? What have you contributed to the culture? I think Mickey, like, I'm with you. Mickey can rap. He's definitely held my attention. There's definitely some quotable bars. But I think from a friendship standpoint, is where this comes in at, right? Like somebody who I deem to be my mentor, y'all talking recklessly about you have done wrong in a way. If he won't talk to y'all, then I got it. Like it's his rap version of having a shooter on deck, basically.
I'm gonna say, and this is a lesson for anybody in any beef dealing with dudes. Like here's where I think Mickey went wrong. He answered people's questions. Like, Royce was fucking with him. Like, he was really just like, mm-hmm. oh, so who, you know, like, he was just, he was asking him stuff as if, like, if you answer the question, that's validating the fact that this person can ask you that question and they deserve or require an answer. Like, mm-hmm. you can, the best thing you can do in a beef is be dismissive. Somebody say something to you and be like, and like you said, like, I ain't even getting out of bed. Like, why would I even justify who you think I am by answering your question or doing, and Royce has been, he been gaslighting the hell out of people. I can say that there's a part of this that makes me look at Royce a little differently. But he been talking this whole thing about checking boxes, and he don't never talk about what the boxes are. It's just just check the boxes.
The boxes exist.
The boxes exist, and you don't check enough boxes, and I do check enough boxes. And people are always asking him like, "What are the boxes?" And he's like, "Man, just checking boxes." And so I think Mickey came out and did this diss track where he tried to check whatever boxes he believes are the boxes. And he checked quite a few. Like, he mimicked some other rapper styles. Like, he really, he really did a lot in that track. But it really came across to me like somebody told you what to do and you did it. You got sunned, bro.
Okay, no, all right, no, I wish you did. Because it definitely felt like that. And it absolutely, like you said, if somebody set you up, they put a battery in your back, and then they told you to go swing for the fences.
Yeah.
And you did, like you said, you went out there, you did everything, like, because you don't know exactly what boxes. So you hit the research box, you hit the people that you didn't speak to directly box, I'm checking you because you talked to my friend crazy box, what have you contributed to the culture, what have you done, and you ain't nobody. If you saying I'm a nobody, then you're also a nobody, and here's proof. Yeah. Like, so yeah, that's fair. I can absolutely see that.
Yeah, they baited him into it. They sunned him like crazy on that live, and then he went and did everything that they told him to do. Like, you know, like we can just, I can control you. If I tell you you can't do something, you're going to do it to prove to me. And then that's you like validating who I am. You feel like you got to prove yourself to me. You must think I'm somebody worth, you know, proving yourself to. And that means whatever dish you come up with is really invalid because you've already shown your reverence and respect toward me. So, I don't know. I did chop up some pieces of at least the Royce and the Lupe track. I want to go through these bars real quick and see what your opinion of them is. I did this like 30 seconds before we started this call, so I don't even remember what button is what. So we're going to be surprised as much as I am. I think I know the first one. The first one, and they both like dissed him on this. They both like made it seem like the fact that Royce will pull like pop culture things into his songs. Like, that was, they used that as a diss. Like, that's like 90% of your bars. Like, all you do is make pop culture references. And that one I didn't get, because to me, like, that's, are you not supposed to do that? Like, are you not supposed to, like, show how you could be talking about something that just happened yesterday? Like, so this obviously wasn't written 3 weeks ago. You know, I did this just now. Like, I don't know.
I can see that, but I think that's because people get on Fabulous for that. Like, soon as something happened on Twitter or it's jokes on something on IG, like the next Fabulous release is about to be whatever. Like, I'm surprised we haven't heard anything for like the Sha'Carri Richardson something. I'm sure, like,
I got one for you. So this is one of my favorite bars from Royce's joint.
I don't carry suitcases on big.
Wrong one. I think this is it.
Y'all with all the jokes, laugh hard, but y'all ridiculous. I'm with all the smoke, Matt Barr, Sha'Carri Richardson.
Like that, I like that one, you know. Y'all with all the jokes, laugh hard, but y'all ridiculous. I'm with all the smoke, Matt Barnes, Sha'Carri Richardson. I asked last week, like, was that too soon? Like, was it too soon to throw a little jab at Sha'Carri?
I think if we know the full reason, if you know the full story of why she was smoking versus just the surface level stuff, no. if you like, oh, I know the full reason. It's too soon. If you just know the surface level stuff, you're like, nah, that's good. I like that.
So. It was to the point. It was on topic. You know, he threw Matt Barnes in there with all the, you know, with the podcast and with all the stuff with Kwame Brown.
Yes, that's good time. That's good content.
Kwame Brown is killing it right now. He's I really need to just be way more reckless. Like, I need to just say more dumb. It's not dumb. Stuff he says isn't dumb, but He just don't give.
He hasn't been in a world. He hasn't been in a world that requires him to be the spotlight. He did this day where he's just like, this is the way I talk when nobody's looking. And the thing is, I don't think he really said anything. Like, he didn't attack any communities, but he definitely played a lot of like, y'all some coons. And yeah, I was like, all right.
It was just the language in general. Like, I just didn't know. Like, you go from nobody has heard from you to y'all gonna hear from me, and you gonna hear me talk about niggas and bitches and coons and
nonstop for like 3 weeks. It was like I was excited to wake up every day. I was like, "What did he say something last night? Did he?"
It's like, man,
what did he do?
He's into it, bro. Use a filter or something like that. You know, just
yeah.
Don't hit us with all of them in the same sentence. Y'all. Like
anybody, yo. That's the other thing too. He was also so far removed from trendy social media culture that anything that was cool, he would wake up and take it as a threat. So, because I remember waking up and it was like, Kwame Brown goes as Jermel Hill. And I was like, what did she say? He was like, talking about somebody woke up and chose violence. Out. And I was like, you did. And that's not offensive. He was going in, I'm sick of her. It was a lot. It was so good. Those times.
All right. So that was a good bar, I thought, from Royce. I got a few more here. Let's see.
I don't carry suitcases on big runs to Mars deep. I don't carry big guns to a small beef. I don't really care what Mickey Fax has to say. Add Lupe, that's touche. I don't care for big gums and small teeth.
That was a shot. Like, and my mama always taught me, you don't make fun of somebody for something they can't control. I think that was aimed at Mickey Fax, the big gums and small teeth. That felt very schoolyard. Yeah, very schoolyard. Yeah. It reminded me of like Ether with like the you ugly and you gay kind of stuff like this is, but I still laughed and I enjoyed the bar. You know, maybe that's why Mickey felt he had to say something. Like, I don't know. I don't know if a dude can get on a rap track and talk about your teeth and you don't have to, you got to say something.
No, for sure. I think yeah, if you have capital gums and lowercase teeth, that is not ideal. That is not an ideal. So I always think about that in the case of the play Haters Ball, like all the mini games, all the little mini games they played. Yeah. Like, so yeah, look at his teeth. Look at his good teeth.
I just remember the.
So yeah, that's the thing.
Who was it? It was the white female comedian that's gay or whatever, and it was like it looked like she wears underwear with dick holes in them. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Those are the kind of bars I was getting from some of these tracks. Like, they was really going to that place with it. Let's see. I got something else from Royce. What else?
Well, you ain't got to lie. You a hostile guy. Like, you about to ride with new entourage, but you not too wise. You've been ostracized. Used to rock with Nas. You was hot July, but look at you now. You just off to ride. Loaded Luck said if we battle, then he gonna sit with Luke. I told him, you're dead if we battle. Now who gonna sit with you?
And that's, again, like, more of, like, That Royce, like, Royce does come across as the more confident until he started getting emotional on these live IG. Like, if there's anywhere where he lost this battle, I don't necessarily think it was on the tracks. It was on these lives. Like, he seemed to have really got hurt by whatever Mickey put in his thing. And he's been mad emotional and it hasn't responded lyrically. But yeah, that whole one was, you know, addressing the Loaded Luck situation, because Loaded Luck was the one trying to hype this battle, and he was like, if they do it, he gonna walk with Lupe. But, you know, in that bar, he's like, no, Loaded Luck said if we battle, he gonna walk with Lou. I told him, you're dead if we battle, who gonna walk with you? Like that's a bar. Like, that one hit for me. But again, this is just it's so unnecessary that it's funny. Like, it's like these two dudes beefing is so ridiculous to me that it's hilarious.
It's one of those things where it's like, I think this, like, back to your original point. Like, I think it's one of those things where you couldn't tell, and us as an audience couldn't tell if this was real. Like, are we just, did this just become the rap version of a real conversation? Or is this really like, because, like, even in Royce's, like, even in the record, it's not, it's not hard. Like, the, you know those, like, when you go back and you listen to diss tracks, or you go back and listen to, like the beats are hard, yeah. they're dark. It's one of those things, like, oh, he might really hurt that person. Like, this is just kind of like, when you get in a disagreement in a barbershop or any gathering, and you're like, look, man, I feel you. I know you think you got hands, or you think you can do whatever it is. These people know that I'm battle tested, so don't do that. Like, I'm telling you for you. Like, I'm not telling you. I'm not telling you to. I'm not doing this for the audience. I'm telling you for you. Don't do this. I don't want you to do this. You got other things. Your bright future. Do it. Go out there and be your, go out there and be the best you can be. But this, doing this with me is not. Yeah. It ain't gonna work for you. And it, I think that's where it really stands. Like, it really feels like a, and that's what, like you said, it comes full circle with the, like, all right, so who are you to be telling me, like, oh, I got bars for you, this, that, that. Like, let's, okay, go to sleep, son. Like, it's like, it's one of those things. But yeah, it is. I'm with all the rapping. I am with you, and I think most of the audience has decided that, like, yeah, I feel you, that the Royce can rap, but all of this getting emotional on live and trying to cop please, and somebody send bars your way, and then the next thing you start talking about is the mental health of black men. I don't know what you talking. What is happening? So, it was a lot.
If there's, like I said, if there's anywhere where I think, and I'm a Royce fan, I'm a Royce stan. Like, you know, he's definitely he's well within my top five, and I really think, you know, with what he's been doing on these albums recently, like, he's in my discussion about whether or not he's number one or not. But if there's a place where he, like, lost this battle to me, it was that, yeah, he came in with that stance of, like you said, like, I'm really good at this. Like, and if you got a bright future, kid, like, don't end your career, you know, don't end your career fucking with me. Like, just, you know, chill, like, relax. Let me just, a couple light jabs, let me show you, you know, what the power feels like a little bit. I ain't gonna hit you as hard as I can, but I want you to understand that, like, half a swing, you know, this is what it's going to feel like. And I think if when people said, all right, you hit me with that and I'm coming back, and then now you don't say nothing, it feels like it may be Royce a little bit, like, I don't really want to do this to you, so I'm not. But then at the same time, it reads like maybe you can't, because these dudes came back. They didn't take your warning. They still spitting. They still throwing shots at you. And now you just emotional and talk about mental health and stuff like that. Like, what happened to, I'm really good at rapping? Like, because this is just rap right now. But you're not rapping no more.
Right. Yeah, I think that's the part where I wonder if this is a larger discussion. Has social media and technology as a whole, has it ruined the way we feel about beef? Because remember, like, if you heard, like, diss tracks, like, when you were younger, like, even, like, in the 90s, like, somebody, it would have to be on somebody's mixtape, somebody would have to play it on the radio, it would have to be something, like, it would have to get to you, and it could be weeks later, it could be weeks later, it could be months later, right? And then now, with this whole, like, everybody's on, right, you can get on Clubhouse, you can get on Facebook Live, you can get on IG Live, you can be on Twitter, you can put your track on SoundCloud in 30 minutes. Like, there's no way to escape being the, like, oh, I didn't respond or whatever. And so now we've created these new rules, like you said, like, well, he ain't say nothing back, so he lost.
Yeah.
So you'd be like, for real? Like, yeah, no, he had time.
Hey, I mean, so, Lupe literally freestyled some of his stuff. And so, you know, you do feel like if you could have responded, you would have responded. So it's either I'm not responding because I'm trying to be bigger than this, but then at the same time, get off live, like, stop FaceTiming dudes and talking about it, you know, and let it go, or rap. Because Lupe's disses were far more direct. Like, that track from Royce, he didn't really, it wasn't a diss track toward Lupe. It was a track with some disses aimed toward Lupe in it, but it was 7 minutes, and Lupe probably got, I don't know, 10 or 12 bars total, you know, throughout the entire 7 minutes. Now, Lupe's disses, on the other hand, they stung. Like, those, like, I need a response because he said some disrespectful shit towards you, Royce. I need you to respond. Let me give you, this was, I think, the most disrespectful of all of them.
Your story crooked and your book too. Pass the dumb shit, but you would shoot somebody's son holding sonships. I wish they would have left Biz here and fucking took you. And not-
so somebody say something like that, like right after, and it, in two ways. Like, one, they made fun of Luke, they made fun of Royce for using pop culture references, and then you diss Royce by bringing up Biz Markie, which is a recent current event pop culture reference. But you say something like, I wish they would have left Biz here and took you. Like, that's, and in the same bar, you making fun of a guy for being overly violent towards you. Because, you know, Royce said something like, I'll shoot your son while he holding your son chips. So I put a hole through your son while he holding your son chips, something like that. And so that was the bar he was referencing. But then you like, man, I wish he was dead. So, like, I don't, you know.
Yeah, it's a lot of hypocrisy in rap. Like, that's the thing that's so crazy is, like, right, is especially if from Lupe's perspective, where he talks about how violent Chicago is, how he wishes it wasn't as violent, and things that he wants to do to make it less violent. Did in the music is like, I am also extremely violent. Yeah. so like, yeah, that is one of those things that's it's super weird, right? When you catch that thing, and I think that whole to your son while you're holding sun chips is very. I think that caught a lot of people where they're like, yo, I don't know what to do with that. and you know what? If I was you, I would go at you too. But yeah, like, damn, I think that is also a common beef tactic, right? Where they do that thing where there's like somebody who has recently died or somebody they know who has died.
Yeah.
And like, yo, I wish they would have took you instead is, I think that's one of those like flawless victory lines where you're like, it's because there's really no way to rebut that where you're just like, all right, you know what? That's whack. I hate that you did that.
Yeah, I mean, so. that's harsh. Like, to me, that's mean. Like, you know, again, like Royce's jabs were like jabs, like your teeth ugly or something, man. He was like, I wish you was dead. And if I'm playing devil's advocate, like the way I took the Sun Chips line from Royce was when you watch, like if you watch Smack or URL or any of them things, like I don't understand how you leave that stage and like, something don't pop off because they be in each other's faces talking about, you know, how they gonna shoot you, and they be doing the, you know, hand gestures with the guns and all that. Like, I'm, you know, I hate to do the era I'm from, but the era I'm from, I remember when that Biggie Bone Thugs and Harmony song came out, and it had like shotgun blast, you know, peppered throughout the beat.
Mm-hmm.
And if you was in a club or something, and when the shotgun blast, because everybody wanted to imitate the shotgun when the shotgun went off, you need to be careful what direction you was pointing in at the time you did that. Because if you pointed at somebody, you know, while you was doing it, you know, indirectly, that's a problem.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, they take it personally.
You might need to, you know, leave out the back or something. Like, you know, you need to be careful how you exit. And so I don't, you know, so I took that as that. Like, they all talk about how they're going to shoot you and kill this person and I'm going to wet you and all that kind of stuff. Royce is not shooting nobody's son holding a bag of chips. He's not doing it. I didn't take it literally, you know, or at super violent. I took it as a battle line, you know. But
yeah, I'm with you too. As much as I watch... And I'm fairly new to watching battle rap, maybe like in the last like 3 years. But like, yeah, I never really was with that. And like you said, I'm from that, like you, all of this touching me and tapping my pockets and telling me you're going to come in my house and shoot my family and all of that other stuff. Hey, man, we too close, man. I might have to. That's why when they be like, oh, a fight broke out. And I'm like, I'm surprised this is not a weekly thing.
Right.
Every of it, somebody should be getting punched in their mouth because you said something crazy. Yo, and your wife is in the crowd. I'm going to do something to her after the show. Kill that man. Why are we up here? I don't even got to wait my turn. Go ahead and shoot him.
Loaded Lux got a whole video where he's like talking to this dude about his father being in prison and how his father ain't shit because he left him.
Oh, you seen
that? I'm like, damn, that's deeply personal. And you in my face while you saying it in front of, in public. Like, you're saying it to me in my face, and you saying it to me where other people can see, and I just got to, like, stand here, and this is cool. Like, this is just a part of the thing.
Yeah, and in that same battle, they showed something from his IG where the dude was like skinny. I think this is the way he went against Calico, but he was like, where he was like skinny dipping or something. And they like put it on like this giant projector and was like, this is what's wrong with kids today. And I was like, what? Wait, what's happening?
These dudes are much stronger than I am because I have no idea how this happens to you publicly. And then like,
I dap you up later. It was just
a battle. And it's recorded. People watch it for years to go, like years to come. Yeah. You can be an old man. Somebody will bring up the time. Remember when Lux was talking shit about your father? You ain't do shit then. They don't talk that shit now.
It's a lot. That's a shame. Yeah. But yeah, as far as this rapping and what I want. So the part that sticks out to me that I wonder, will this ever be the new wave? Not necessarily for rappers, but just for people in general. Is they created a podcast not knowing each other. Like, just kind of knowing of each other. Like, I know that you dope. I know you're kind of cool. I see you got a following. I'm kind of dope. I do my thing. We should talk about rap together. And I think about that a lot, too, from a content creator standpoint of, like, yo, could you realistically do that? Like, could you pick one topic, put two strangers in a room, and then just have them talk about it? Like somebody, one of them is more well informed about the situation or closer to a situation than the other, and it's just one person who's kind of just like not necessarily oblivious, but just kind of like, all right, well, I kind of have a vague idea of what's happening. And I was like, damn, that's kind of like a really good concept. But then also, I don't want to say an advanced age because they're not probably that much older than us, but like this kind of stuck in your way situation, right? Because like this really could all be, like you said, it could all be solved with the conversation, get on the phone, fix this, and it could be done. But I guess it's like to your point, right? If you're talking about toxic masculinity, where I'm like, I'm feel this way about this, and there's no moving me from this. This is a hill I literally will die on. And then everything else is just like, whatever. And if they're both that way, but like, how do you even move forward, right? Because now I get it, because you just feel like, oh, well, I'm better at rapping, I'm better at this, that's the third, but like, there's still a real issue here.
Yeah. Now, it's weird, because, you know, I did a ton of guest spots last year. I was really proud of that. And it, like you said, it was like meeting a stranger on Facebook. Somebody just like, hey, anybody want to come on my show and talk about whatever? I'm like, yeah, I'll do it. And and then I end up on this show, and 9 times out of 10, it was like a white podcast, and we always got into a conversation about race at some point. Mm-hmm. And I enjoy those conversations, and I'm never going to take anything personally, but yeah, I mean, that's an awkward situation, and like, not know a person, not know their views, not know anything. All I know is you white and I'm black, and now you're asking me a question about, I think I did a show way back about like, were black comedians funny? It's like, I could have immediately taken that as an insult. Like, you know, the question. I could have just taken the premise as a, I'm coming on here and we about to exchange some words. We had fun with it, but I don't know if you can always do that with just two random individuals. Somebody has to come into the situation knowing this could go left, and if it goes left, this is how I'm going to approach it. I know I have this thing now. I just realized it this week where, like, I have turned I'm gonna pray for you into a low key diss. Like, that's my way of insulting people. Like, because I'm getting into beefs online all the time for no reason. Like, I see stuff. We're in the era of misinformation, and I just have this attitude where, like, I see something that's bad information, and I could just, it don't apply to me, whatever, like, not say nothing. But I feel like I should say something. Not for the person that posted it, but for somebody else that may come across and then get this information with no opposition and take it as fact or take it as the truth. So I respond to these things and I get into this stuff. And then half the time, you know, I'll say something borderline disrespectful. I think I was talking to somebody about Simone Biles, and I was like, part of it was, you should keep your dumb ass comments to yourself. And then the last line was like, I'm gonna pray for you though. You know? And it's like, and it's like, you know, it's like, and I know I'm saying it is almost to say, like I'm on a moral higher ground than you are, so I'm looking down on you, and I'm gonna pray that, you know, you come around to be as enlightened as I am. Like, that's the way I'm saying it when I type it. Like, I know that's what I mean.
Right.
But I think you would have to enter a situation with that kind of attitude. Like, these are my outs for when somebody disrespect me. This is how I'm going to disrespect them back nicely in a very nice way. I'm going to pray for you.
Yeah, you know what? I might have to co-opt that. I feel like my, when I say, and that's okay, you can say something. It's like, it's saying whatever you, what I want to say. Like, so like if you do the, like, it's my new version of no offense and then saying something offensive.
Yeah.
Is, and that's okay. So like my new favorite thing is like now everybody's trying to say they're introverts, right? And I'm like, oh, I'm an introvert. So, you know, it's like being in the house. And I was like, nah. I've seen y'all's Instagram stories. Y'all be out. What has happened is you have ran out of money, and now you're telling people that you are an introvert. You're broke, and that's okay. Like, that is way better than you trying to convince us that you enjoy being in the house. Because I saw your Instagram, so you was out.
Right.
Right below the last 2 weeks, before that, if you scroll up or down, whatever version it is, you are out and about. You're doing things. Those things cost money. And as you can see, each picture, there's less money being spent. See how that works? It's okay.
It's okay. I like that. Yeah. I like that. But yeah, you got it. I think for these kind of things to work, especially when you're dealing with like rappers, and it's a competitive sport, and there's masculinity involved, and you know, any conversation has the potential to go left. Like, if you don't enter it with like that little soft jab that you can throw, rather than getting offended and saying something harsh, like, I wish they left Biz Markie and took you. I need to stop like giving Lupe a hard time. Like, it was a battle. He did what he was supposed to do. The dude did say he put a hole in his son. So you can say,
yeah, that. it's pretty strong.
It's pretty strong. I got some. What is this next one?
I ain't trying to bash, but it was like you was off your schedule. You was throwing more than jabs. I was like, this nigga's incredible. We had to fucking edit you. I don't know what vegan Detroit vegetable Dr. Sebi diet infected you to think that we shared the same metrics, or somehow I was less than you, and I was the type of nigga that you could get really disrespectful to. I ain't never lectured you. I get energetic and joke. And real talk, nigga, I ain't never disrespected you.
Yeah, I think I picked that one because that was one of the few times during that Lupe song where he like did Lupe, like he actually rapped. Like, it really came across as a freestyle. The bars were so like elementary. Like, he was rapping like shame with lame and stuff like that. And that was one of the few times where like he went into what I believe, what we know he can do. Again, evoking Dr. Sebi's name seemed like pop culture reference, but whatever, you know, you can see where my allegiances lie. But
yeah, yeah, for sure.
But yeah, now, here's another tip for anybody involved in a beef. Because Royce tried to, that's more gaslighting. When you say stuff like, I just get energetic and joke, but I ain't never disrespected you. 9 times out of 10, when you getting energetic and you joking, you going to disrespect somebody. And then you don't get the right to say whether or not you disrespected somebody or not. You 100% are the only person aware of your intentions. So you can always say, I never intended to disrespect you. But if you say something and a person is disrespected by it, you did that. You can't say, yeah, I didn't do that. You can say, I didn't mean to do that, but
right,
you did that. So, you know, Lupe taking the stance of, if you took it as disrespect, that's on you, not me. That's, I don't know. I don't agree. And I don't suggest you get energetic and joke and think everything's going to be cool.
Yeah, I think, yeah, that's, I'm 100% on board with that too. Like, you don't get to, we don't get to dictate how people feel, right? Like, you said what you said and you stood by it. Okay, so that made me feel a way, and that is that. So we'll handle it accordingly. Like you said, like we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. But yeah, you don't get to be like, nah, I didn't do that, and I said what I said and you felt how you felt. All right, cool. Well, I get to respond however now, because you didn't care about how you said it, and I don't care how I respond. So get ready, buckle up, cowboy.
But yeah, man, the beef was just ridiculous. You know, I was enjoying the bars. I would love to get more music out of it. But if we don't, I'd be glad that it's just it's over and we forget about it and it don't come up ever again. I was low-key hoping, you know, especially once Mickey Fax stepped in, because I think Royce made a comment about, like, you know who my friends are. You know, I can pull people into this too, and I don't think y'all want that. And I do. Like, yeah, man, you gonna pull M or you gonna? I would love to see Budden get off the bench and do. I think Lupe actually threw a shot, a real quick shot at him. This is it.
This nigga think he's Siri. The answer to your queries. What's Siri to Steve Jobs? A button to Tahiri.
So he gave him a shot. He threw one out there. He brought the Tahiri situation back up. I'm pretty sure Joe is so used to those kind of jabs that's not going to get him out of bed. But I would appreciate it. If we get a Slaughterhouse reunion for this or a Bad Meets Evil, Brad versus Evil track out of this, I'm game.
You know, that's funny that you say that, because I've seen them have this conversation that Slaughterhouse could get back together.
Yeah.
Which I was like, that's what made me be like, is this beef bigger than what I thought it was? Because scrolling down the line and then seeing Crooked Eye be like, I think Slaughterhouse could absolutely survive it during this time, or could Slaughterhouse coming back at this time would be like great. And then, like, I saw Joel Ortiz be like, absolutely. And I was like, wait, what? Are y'all, has the beef brought y'all together? Is this like some Voltron? Like, it's so bad that we got all like combined forces. That situation, like, we like, what is going on right now? But yeah, I'm with that too. Listen, my thing is, when it comes to rapping, the more chaotic, the better. Just bring in everybody. Like, as much as I don't really care for the game as much, like the game, the rapper, when that dude was beefing,
yeah,
there was no time wasted. It was, he got this morning. We got a track in the afternoon.
Yeah.
It was an increasing number of bars. It was like, well, give him 100 bars, 200 bars, 300 bars, 500 bars, 600 bars. Then it got to, like, I remember at one point it was like 1,500 bars. I was like, all right, this guy.
Yeah, I'm not listening to your 30-minute diss track. Like, this is getting out of control.
Because now you just walking around the house naming stuff. Because there's no way this man made you this mad to be rapping for 13 whole minutes. Like, all right, come on now. Just cut it off.
I would love to see Budden enter. I want to see Joe Budden get back to something where, like, his personality is not a detriment. Like, he's ruined that fucking podcast. And I love that podcast. And, I mourn his death, but yeah, like, I mean, he was coming across on that as an asshole continuously, but that was good for podcasting. But yeah, I think, you know, as a rapper, his personality fit. Like, he makes somber, sad, depressive music, and he fits. Mm-hmm. Like, he's the epitome of that. He makes music for my depressive periods, and I enjoy that. And that's the one place where he can be Joe Budden and say the dumb shit that he says, and it's cool. Like, you know, I was such a Joe Budden fan, and then seeing him on Love and Hip Hop, like, lowered that a little bit, and then the podcast, like, killed it, and the Slaughterhouse situation killed it some more. If he could come back to something where, like, his abrasive-ass personality was necessary and not a detriment, like, I would applaud that. If you're listening, Joe, which I know you're not, but if you are, like, bars, man. You can be an asshole on the bars, and that's acceptable. Do that. Stop being an asshole everywhere else.
Yeah. I can agree with that. I co-sign that. I don't have too much to add to that. But yes, 100%, 100%.
But yeah, all right. So moving on from this, you know, ridiculous beef to something that's more interesting that I'm really looking forward to. We're going to get the Dipset versus Lox versus. What are your thoughts going into it? What are you expecting? If you had to pick a crew, what side would you go with?
I think the thing for me is who was more impactful in my life. and that would have to be Dipset.
Oh,
now, I love the Lox. There's nothing about the Lox that I don't like, right? Now, them, like, they are the, like, it's that thing, too, also being older. Like, I like Jadakiss's styles as men, like, dudes. Like, they, yeah, yo, yeah. Even when they crack jokes on the internet, it's like, they... they crack jokes on you about being like manly men and like not knowing about stuff. Like the most recent thing that I saw was like Styles doing the Jim Jones weatherman impression. Awesome. Being like, yeah, if he loses on the new weatherman, like if these super raspy New York voices are hilarious to me. I think that's what I've. So I think looking at them as people, right? Like Jim is as a just him as a person, and Cam as a person. It's much like you just said about Joe Budden. It's like, damn, you don't gotta be an asshole to everybody in your family. Like, damn, you could like legit chill. But the Locks was also like I was younger when they came around. Obviously, with the whole stuff, I listened to them all through the whole big situation and then the shiny suit era.
Yeah.
So like we know how important they are to the culture. I think once it got to all this like D-Block situation, I was kind of older and kind of out of it. And then when they started doing their solo stuff, I felt like, well, I was more just like everybody else, like a Kiss and Styles fan.
Yeah.
And no knock to Sheik, because Sheik has some really dope stuff, but it's whatever. But as a whole, like Dipset, I was older, so I kind of was on my own. So wearing like big basketball jerseys, Tim's, do-rags, all that other stuff feels right up my alley. A lot of the music that like Heatmakers and stuff was making during that time, fantastic. We really appreciated that.
I'm definitely siding with Locks. Just, I guess, you know, from when they came in, and the, like I said, from the era that I'm from, and I hate saying that shit. It sounds stupid every time I say it.
It makes us also feels dated, right? Like, yeah. It makes us feel like you've been around and seen some stuff. Like, yeah. From my era, like.
And I'm not gangsta in any stretch of the imagination. But like you said, like, yeah, when it comes to like what gangsta is and what gangsta isn't, and like the manly man kind of stuff, like the Locks feel, you know, closer to real to me for that. Like Dipset to me at some point was like cartoon characters, like the pink and the jewelry and the crazy, what they had, like the pocket chains and stuff. They did like shit for effect, you know, and like, yeah, you know, the big clothes and all of that. And I blame Dipset a little bit for the state of hip hop as it is right now. I think they ushered in the era of like personality and like your wardrobe and all that other stuff being on equal footing as with your musical ability. And like kids these days have taken it to where it supersedes it. Like if you a character and if you dress a certain way or if you do certain thing, you wear a lot of pink or you put a pink diamond in your forehead or whatever dumb shit they doing these days, like that somehow makes you an incredible artist. And no diss to Lil Uzi Vert, I don't know any of his music to be able to diss him like that. But I feel like Dipset was like the beginning of that. He was the beginning of just, I don't know what it is about Dipset that Joe, maybe it was because everybody liked him. I might just be that much of a contrarian. Like, it was such a movement that I can't fuck with it. And the Locks always, even when they was mainstream, felt underground for some reason. Like, they always felt like the underdog. True.
Nah, that's absolutely true about the Locks. Even though, yeah, I could clearly go listen to them, have a song with Timbaland on the radio and still feel like they didn't get enough recognition. Like, I know they just played them 20 times on the radio, but still, they're not getting the credit that they deserve. I don't know if, I think the wardrobe thing has always been a part of hip hop. I do feel like I know more people who know Kwame for Polka Dots than they actually know Kwame songs.
Bet.
Yeah, that's it's tough. I think if we wanted, to pinpoint something that was wrong with hip hop that Dipset contributed to, I think they could also be cited for somewhat the birth of mumble rap and not having to have overly complex bars. I remember being on working somewhere where it was only six of us from above the Mason-Dixon line. And when Cam said, "Computer's Putin."
Computer's Putin.
every dude who loved rap came. They gathered us all up, all six of us. They were like, explain this right now. Why are y'all destroying hip hop? We're like, hey, fam, we didn't know he was going to do that. Yeah.
Yeah, and Cam got bars, though. Cam is, and Jim Jones has only gotten better. Like, I definitely respect him more these days than I did then. He was one of the people that, like, Love and Hip Hop did more good than bad for. Like, that whole scene where he's talking to dudes, he's like, you think the things you're doing is conducive to you walking around in these streets safe? I'm like, I was like, damn, Capo, yeah. I didn't even know you knew conducive, but shouts to you. Like, yeah, I fucks with Jim Jones. I hate the fact that his girl proposed to him. Like, I don't really rock with that. But
yeah, that was a little strange.
That's not a musical thing. And then so here's a quick story for, again, why I don't fuck with Dipset. And New York, I think at this point, just hates me in general. But I am siding with Yonkers, so y'all can't hate me but too much. But I was dating this girl that was like a front desk person at a big hotel in D.C., and I remember her calling me one night because Dipset was in town and they were staying at her hotel. And I think Cam might have been like at the desk and he was inviting her to go someplace. And she was calling me to see if it was okay. And I'm on the phone like, and this is like right after like Horse and Carriage and all the other shit. So, you know, I'm like, I know what these niggas is about to do to you. Like, like, are you really calling me to find if it's okay if you go hang out with Cameron? Fuck no, it ain't okay. And I don't know how much of my response he heard, or maybe he saw her face, or maybe she was just motioning to him like, nah, I can't go. But I can hear him in the background. That nigga don't know me, man. Fuck that nigga. He don't know. So yeah, me and Cam, you know, he don't know it. He don't know it. Yeah. And I'm sure he don't care in the slightest, but we on rock to this day. Like, nah, shouts to Cameron, man. If you ever want to come on the show, I appreciate it. But
I got issues
with Cam. He tried to steal my girl, man. He tried to kill my father.
Yeah, no. Horse and Carriage. You had to stop his run. And I appreciate you for that, because you got to stand your ground. You got to stand your ground and be like, no, this, yo, you mean the song that's on the radio all day? Hell no. Nah. Work your shift. Stay there. Be safe. That's a good reason. That is 100%. So yeah, no, just be like, yeah, no, fuck Santana's Town and all that other shit that they about to play. Shadas and Clockwork and all that other shit. No, damn that. He tried to holler at my girl. Fuck you and your American flag suits.
Like, and not to say that I was dating like a supermodel or anything at the time. Like, I was a little shocked. Like, you really?
What?
You sure he was talking to you? You sure?
You sure it's just not a man just named Cameron right. At the front, right? You sure it's not the same?
Like, you're not falling for the okie doke, are you? But
yeah,
but nah, I'm looking forward to that versus. Like, I'm gonna tune in, and I really feel like they probably just gonna get on there and do it like other rappers have done. I think they all get along and they enjoy each other's music, and it'll be a more celebration of like '90s, early 2000 New York hip hop than anything else. Like, you know, all the stuff online is for fun. They having fun with this, and that's what I like the most. Like, you know, when you get these rappers come on and they having fun with the idea of a beef rather than this actual beef between two knowledgeable dudes that seem to be all about peace. But this is gonna be fun.
Yeah, no, I'm super excited about it. I'm super excited about it in the same way of, like you said, it's more of a celebration. I think that was also a point that I thought of in verses that Kiss had kind of talked about in his when they had asked him, like, well, who would the Locks go up against? And he was like, it don't matter. You can put us up against anybody. The thing is, in this verses, you got to get people to show up and you got to get a group that actually still rock with each other. Yeah. And I thought that was really important, because I think there early on in verses, it was just like, we'll get who we could get for nostalgia purposes. We don't care. So, like, you know, you got 3/4 of Jagged Edge and you know, 1/8 of 112, you know what I mean? And they're just being like, you know, just, you know, sticking people in the room being like, yeah, you know, actually these people are going through legal battles. And that's why I keep people going through legal battles or people genuinely not liking each other, which is why I don't understand week after week or every time we see verses, somebody's like, it's time for New Edition to get up here. Like, yeah, y'all, we're not probably ever gonna get that. I know y'all keep wanting to see it, It's not finna happen.
Nah, not finna happen.
I don't even know what they're gonna do if they when they try to do the boys to men one, because I don't know where the
where all them dudes stand.
I think they're all good because they think they have a Vegas show, but the the deep voice dude, I don't know where he at. Like, I don't know what's his deal. Hey,
that was wasn't that like Brian McKnight's brother or something like that? Or?
I don't know. Yeah, you might be knowing. Yeah, you know, you're deep into the musical game than me. How about the
I mean, I seen your I seen a IG joint of your Serato up, dog. You like a DJ or something, man. Anybody just got Serato? Don't nobody got Serato for no reason. It's too fucking expensive.
One, it is Serato DJ Lite. It's significantly cheaper than regular Serato. Two, when you're bored in a pandemic, you'll do anything. So I'm just like, we'll just play around with this for a little bit. But yeah, that is I'm excited for this because I think we need this in this time.
Yeah, and to bring it full circle to conversations you and I have had, I thought about this. You asked me this a long time ago. Like, Jada and Styles, when they do songs together, like, it's just, that's the greatest, like, rap duo almost of all time in my mind. Like, and I can't even tell because they do almost all the songs they do together. They do that back and forth kind of thing where you can't tell, like, are they all writing this, like, bar for bar? Like, is he writing one line and you write the next line? Or is somebody writing the whole verse and y'all just spit it like this? Like, how does this whole work out? But,
yeah.
Like, and you asked me when we was talking about Styles versus Beans. And I was like, man, Jada and Styles is unfuckwittable. And you're like, you really saying that Jada and Styles' records is better than Beans and Jay-Z? And as much of a Jay-Z fan as I was, like, that you caught me with that one. I was like, I don't want to say something reckless. But today, where I'm at right now, I might put the Jada and Styles catalog ahead of the Beans Jay-Z catalog.
I agree with that. I also agree that, like, in those who, if we had to pick, because there are a lot of Jada, or there are a lot of Jay-Z and Beans verses that are great. There are also a fair amount of, like, Beans and Freeway stuff. And now, even then, I think in the conversation when you're talking about music, like, even if we just had to do duos, it's not too many people. I don't even think it's anybody that we could really put up against them, right?
Maybe Royce and M.
Okay, Royce and M. Okay, you could do that. Then we did, because I think we ran through this a little bit too, right? Like, we ran through, like, all right, so Lil Brother, like, where did you get? Okay, we're not going to get that. You're not going to get Fonte and Pooh versus Jada and Styles. We're not gonna ever get that. So, like, I can't even really even. Yeah, Black Star. We not about to get that. We not gonna get any of that.
Let's do that real quick, because you said you tagged me on that one, and I did mean to get back at you on that one. Moses whole rant about, like, fans needing to shut the fuck up and stop asking when the Black Star album is coming, when he says it's coming, when he feels like it's coming, is his art. He gets to determine when to put it out, if the situation is right, if the money is right, or whatever situation is right. He shouldn't have any pressure to deliver a product to you where he would feel like he would sacrifice, you know, what he wants for his art, just to appease fans. And I rock with it. I get it. Like, you put the time in. Yeah, I wasn't with you in the gym. Like, you know, you put the time in making them songs, and you shouldn't have to release them for less than what you think they're worth just because people keep bothering you about it. But I want that. I want that fucking out. And I keep hearing about it, and everybody's like, all the celebrities that listen to it is like, it's dope. Questlove said he damn near shed a tear. Like, you can't tell me you heard some shit that made you shed a tear, and I can't hear it too.
Yeah. I mean, if anything, Kanye West has prepped us for this type of thing, right? Where he keeps teasing us with an album that we know exists, but other people have heard. So, yeah, like, that's... All right, so my thing is, from a person who makes content in my free time and as a living, right? Like, I have to do this for my job. We create stuff and put it out for the public to consume. I said this thing very early on when I first started making a podcast and started kind of, like, taking a deeper look into what content feels like. Now, normally, when you upload your show, everybody says either two things. Either it feels good, right? It Or you're nervous each time because you're like, oh, I made this thing in the comfort of my home. It was just me talking. It was just me making music. It was just me doing whatever. And then you upload it to YouTube, SoundCloud, wherever you upload your thing to, right? And so anytime I made a show or anytime I helped work on a show or a project or something like that, whenever you release it, it should feel like the way it feels for anybody who's played a sport and you know you're about to score, right? So for me, it's like basketball. So it's like the moment you put your hand up and the ball leaves your fingertips and you're like, oh, that's good. I don't even got to look. Like it's the way Steph Curry shoots. Like just it left my hand. We're good. Yeah. That's the way I feel about, and most content creators feel about when you're releasing your projects or you're releasing your work. The thing for me, though, is what I got from most rant was, I'd rather give it to you and I know that it's good opposed to you being like, just give it to me as is.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, too, and I think a lot about that, especially when it comes to podcasting, is like, at some point, you came here, somebody told you that consistency will work, you will get a sponsorship, you will get this thing, you will do whatever. Something will happen to you if you keep showing up every week or whatever, you, however the cadence is that you release your show. And then at some point, even me, and then I know we've had these conversations of like, at what point do you, like, how do you know if your show is good or not? Like, right? Because it's like, you ask for reviews, you ask for feedback, this, that, and the third. But like, if you just keep making the same thing and it's no whatever, and we live in this like, microwave society where people just want to consume the thing just to say they consumed it. Yeah. It's not, they won't tell you if it's good or not. They want to tear it down right away. And I think that was the thing. Like, I wish we could have a situation where we played the Andre 3000 interview with Rick Rubin, the, and the most comment kind of like back to back in that space of being like Andre 3000 saying, yo, I want to get back to making music, but I'm so afraid to release it because all y'all gonna do is tear it down. I'm so like in my head that I can't even make it because I just wanna make it, but I know like I can't say the words that I used to say or express how I truly feel about something because it's, you know, I feel like I gotta tap dance around a subject or whatever. And it's not that I don't think in the verses that I've heard from Andre 3000 as of recently, that it's not. I guess it depends on who you ask. Let me say that before I say like, oh, he's not saying anything offensive. Cause it, there is a fair amount of like, he doesn't like surgery bodies, right? Like modified bodies. So that's his thing being like, oh, I would prefer women don't touch their bodies, that kind of thing. But just in making content, somebody has to know what good and what bad is. And I feel like that's really what he was saying. It was more or less about like, yeah, this album exists and we've been working on it. But like, yeah, like you said, everything's got to be right. And it has to be good.
Yeah.
Just for you to go through your nostalgic purposes to be like, oh, another Black Star album came out. We waited so long for it. You're going to listen to it. I've seen albums get released at midnight, 12:15. Somebody's telling me that's a classic.
I'm guilty of that.
Yeah, or like, yeah, right. Or the, yeah, like somebody played the first, like I get it if you're like, yo, the intro is insane.
Yeah.
I'm with that. This is very key to the album. But yeah, the album came out at midnight, 12:45. Somebody's being like, this is the worst album. They could have kept this bullshit. Da, da, da. And that's the thing, we get so much music now. Like I feel like we get more music now more than ever, where it was like, I forgot who said this. Like, you've never been in a situation where two albums got released in the same day and you only had enough money for one to where you had to be like, you had to finagle the system where like you had to get your homeboy to buy an album he probably wasn't gonna buy.
Yeah.
To be like, nah, hey, look, man.
Yeah, I remember them crazy days vividly, them release Tuesdays where you had decisions to make. Like, I think Jay and Mace dropped on the same day one year, and like I had to back up my argument at school. Like, I had been telling everybody Jay-Z was so much better than Mace for so long, and then when the albums dropped, I really wanted that Mace album, but it wasn't no way I could show up to school with the Mace album and not the Jay-Z album, so I had to buy Jay-Z just to back up my arguments. I couldn't walk into school and be like, yeah, I bought that new Mace. I thought you said Jay-Z was the man. Oh, you're right. So I remember them days. We don't have that no more. You can get everything at any moment.
Yeah, right, exactly. You just have to like hit a download button. I remember, I don't know how that detrimental to this my upbringing is. I was pulled out of school on 9/11, and across from the other school where we're getting my siblings from was a record store. the world is in the middle of panic down. I was like, hey, I heard that Blueprint came out today. I'm just going to get this.
I'm going to slide over real quick.
Yeah. I was like, where'd you go? I was like, went to go get a CD real quick. Sorry about that.
Had to make
it. Yeah. I was like, yeah, we're going to be stuck in the house because we don't know what's going on with the world. At least let me play this new Jay-Z. So, yeah, it was a very weird time. But, yeah, I'm very interested to see, like, all of these albums that keep getting touched and updated. And like you said, like all these people, all these super celebrities, right? It's not even like corny celebrities, right? It's not like somebody who like did a spot on SNL like back in 95 and then they're just like, yo, I heard the Black Star. So you're like, oh, it's like Dave Chappelle and them being like, yeah, I was in the house, Questlove and them being like, yeah, no, I was actually, yeah, just sitting around and they played me the album and it's insane. And I'm like, yeah, I want to hear that. I want to be a part of that. But I also don't like, all right, so how do you work through that process? Because I know that you're very much into, like, you know, sitting with music, sitting with it, letting it run, breaking down bars, all that other stuff. That's why I think that you're deeper into music than I am. I think I can assess it faster. I think the longevity of music, your take on it is always more in depth than mine. Like, for prime example, like, I have to wait for it to die down for me to like listen to albums that people rave for, like, and I end up forgetting about them. Like I was telling you the other day, like I still have not listened to the new J. Cole album. Like I keep forgetting about it. Like I'm like, oh, I keep, because it was so, everybody's like, oh, it's the best thing I ever heard. It's not that it's just the best J. Cole album. It's the best rap album this year and in years past. And I'm like, all right, well, all right, hold on. Like let me take a step back and I'll listen to it in a little bit.
Yeah,
and then I end up forgetting about it.
No, and that's like, I had to work through that the other day. Like, I listened to that J. Cole album, and I loved that J. Cole album. And then that hasn't been that long ago, and I can't tell you when the last time I played a song from that J. Cole album. Like, it was the greatest thing in the world for me for like 2 weeks, and then you know, ADD or whatever it is, you know, the microwave popcorn shit kicked in, and it was just on to something else. I think I was listening to the Sky Zoo album. And forget all about J. Cole. And it's dope sometimes because I get to go back to albums that I forgot about and listen to them again. Like, this is the first time I ever heard it because I, you know, I completely forgot that this content existed. But, I was listening to what you were saying about content creators and how that ties into this, because that's where I am right now. Like, I definitely feel like I have to put out content to stay relevant. I think, you know, I've watched this show, like, progress, and then I go through one of my periods, my mental health, you know, periods, and fall off, and then have to rebuild, you know, whatever progress I have made. That's how I'm this year is, like, my goal is 52 episodes. I'm putting out an episode every week, no matter what, you know. And so there may be some times, I know there have been some times where there's been content for the sake of content. Like, I wasn't feeling it. I didn't feel like doing the episode. I don't know if the episode is any good, but I got an episode done. I put it out. And it's there because I feel like I have to do that to stay relevant. I think people in, like, Most and Talib's position don't have to do that. Like, Most is forever going to be Most to the right people. There may be some youngsters who feel like I haven't heard nothing from him, so I don't know how, I don't revere him the same way you did. But, you know, for most of us, you know, like hip-hop heads or whatever, Most is Most. If he never put out another record again, like, he is who he is. So he doesn't have that same pressure to put out content. It's weird hearing those comments from Andre, because I feel like he's in the same boat. Like, yeah, we want the content, but your legacy is not tarnished to me in any way by not hearing from you. And the fact that you feel this pressure to, like, put out something that you think the people would think is good, you know, is I wish he didn't feel that way. Because I really, like, I make this podcast. I do not work under the delusion that anybody listens to this show. I actually do the exact opposite. I have to make this show like nobody listens to it, and therefore it doesn't matter what I say or what I do, that I can truly be me, because it doesn't matter. Because if I fall into the mindset of I'm making a show for a certain person or for a certain audience, like, I'll become something that maybe is not necessarily me, and then if it did pop at that point, I wouldn't know how to sustain it. Like, I'd be always in that same, like, grind to try to figure out what's the next thing to do that they want me to do, you know, rather than just making the content. I feel like the way I'm doing it now, if I do a show that I don't think anybody listens to, if it did pop, I know I can sustain it. I know I can keep doing the same, you know, bullshit that I've been doing, you know, for however long, because I'm just being me. So it hurts my heart. It hurts my heart to hear that Andre doesn't feel like he can just be Andre and the world going to accept him, you know, regardless. Like, that he has to, like, make sure he fits in some acceptable box for everybody. Like, I would hate to feel that way as a creator. And I have felt that way, and I'm trying to get out of it and just, like, fuck it, I do what I want.
Yeah, and I think that's extremely tough, right? Like you said, as somebody who, like, makes things and releases them, right? Like, the moment, and I think that's also a fair amount of being a content creator or people who make anything for the public to consume, is like, once you release it, it's not yours anymore. And all you get to do now is, back to the whole battle rap thing, is like, all you have is rebuttals. Yes. Like, all, because everybody's going to be back to just being like, they're going to tell you how you felt, what was going on, and then you have to be like, no, that's not actually how that happened. That's actually not what's wrong, or this, that, and the third. And I think also being able to spectate, right? Like, that's the part. Like, when you in, like you said, when you're in it, when you're making the content, you probably don't, there's one part, right? Like, I think you and I, we've had this conversation where you're just like, yeah, I'm so busy making the content and doing what it takes to make the show be great that I have not paid attention to what's going on social media, whether it be reviews for the show or just in general. I'm doing my thing, so I'm in it, so it doesn't matter. And I get it too. Like, if I was Andre and I was making that stuff, and we was touring and we was doing everything we had to do to make the music and put music out, if I heard something from somebody, it probably wasn't real time, like I'm walking around on a day off type situation, like, just like, you know, like elevators or whatever, right? Walking through the mall, somebody said something to me, boom, all right, cool. Now the situation of where I don't make music anymore, I don't make it as much, I can watch other people who I deem are great make music, and then watch them get torn down in real time and be like, wait, this person worked for a year on this and y'all listened for 38 minutes and was like, I don't like it.
It's trash. And they don't go to the I don't like it. They go to it's trash.
Yeah, it's
garbage.
Stupid.
Why would you ever, you know?
Yeah. And that's the part where you're like, okay, cool. So, right, you have to either be super defensive, right, or you have to defend your thing while you're making it, much like Most was doing, like, to this point of being like, yo, I know y'all want this. I'm not keeping it from y'all. The thing about it is, it doesn't feel right to me. It doesn't feel like it's whatever. Whether we don't have the right production, whether we don't have the right guests on here, whether it's the theme isn't right, we just been doing whatever. Because if they work the way I think they work, they're not doing typical rap shit. Yeah. Right, where they're just going in the studio, I spit a verse, you hear it, maybe you go spit a verse, we sit on it. It's the everything that was on the first one, do we still feel that way? Do we have another brown skin lady in the tuck? do we have another, like, this thing? Or do I feel the same way? Or is Most still like, I still feel the same way about mathematics? Even though a lot of that stuff still rings true to right now. Like, yeah, what's some evergreen content that we can make right now? Because that's something that I think if they do drop it, we're definitely not getting a third one. Like, if they put it out there, it's like, this is it. It's going to be evergreen content about the world and something that you can go back. Like you said, something you can go back and be like, yo, I'm going to go play that Black Star game. Because I know the first one is like that. Yeah. I could go back right now and be like, I enjoy this.
Yeah, yeah. Now I might do that as soon as we finish this.
Right.
But have you heard Talib talk about, like, how they do record? Like, he's like, he gotta catch Most wherever he is. Like, he just gotta end up in the same city that Most is in, like, be in the same hotel, have the engineer in the same hotel, like, next door, and just catch him. Be like, oh, you know, just wait for Most to be like, man, you know, that would make for a good song. He'd be like, bet, because I got the engineer next door. We can do this right now. Like, he gotta just grab
100%. You know? I feel like that's how they have to work. I feel like Most and Andre 3000 probably are the same way. Like, you have to stop them and be like, hey, you got time? Because that's the way I felt. Somebody had asked them, I don't remember who it was, it might have been Travis Scott. Andre 3000 was on something. They flew him in, come to the studio, drop a verse.
Yeah.
He was basically like on his Lauryn Hill, like, I ain't really in the zone right now. you know, they like, what do you need? He like, oh, just give me some time. And they was like, they waited 3 days for that man. They put him in a really nice hotel. And then he was like, hey, I want to go home.
Yeah.
And it was like, he has not given us a verse. We've been giving him whatever he want, and he went home. And then they said still, like, 2 weeks after he went home, then he just, like, emailed a verse, like. And it was one of the best verses they had ever heard. Like, yeah. this is insane. This dude is killing this record. And it's a quick 16, and then that's it. And they're like, but it took, like, almost 3 weeks to get it done. And it was a whole, like you said, like, it's a vibe check kind of situation. Like, oh, that would be dope. We could do that. Yes, we need to do it right now while it's on your mind.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's crazy because I just had somebody recently ask me to help them out with their intro music for their new podcast. So I got a homie that's going to be dropping a podcast soon, so be on the lookout for that. And I'm going to be doing the intro music for him. And he hit me. He was like, "Man, you want to get paid for some of them bars or whatever?" And I was like, you know, what is it that you need? What you need?" And he hit me with the idea of making the intro music. And my response to him was, "Let me do it for free, so it don't feel like work." Like, cause the moment it was, you know, he's gonna pay me this amount to do this, and I gotta have it by this day. Like, I'd have never got it done. You know, once the pressure was off, and it was just something I was doing for fun for a homie. Like, I got it written. You know, that day, like, I was sending them bars that afternoon. Like, you know, does this feel, does this fit the vibe that you want to do? Like, I can get that. Like, it can't be work for me. And that's again goes back to, like, this podcast. Like, it's got to be something I just do, where I'm just being me, where I'm just talking. The moment I fall into the, you know, what do the people want to hear, or what should I talk about, or what should I not talk about, or what should I not say? Like, I'm scared of that, because if the show blew up on those terms, then I will always be in that box of trying to figure out what I'm supposed to do and what I'm supposed to say, rather than just, you know, making content, because that's what I enjoy doing. So, I don't know. It's dope, and it sucks that people that you look up to artistically, you know, are going through those same struggles, because you would hope that one day you just so dope that whatever, like, I know I can come in there and breathe on the track and y'all gonna love it. I want that Kanye confidence. I mean, like, I could put out a blank album and tell y'all to imagine the music, and it'd be a classic. Like, I want that.
Yeah, he did give us that scoopity poop song.
Scoopity poop. Like, yeah, I want to be as fucked up as that was, and as much as I hate him for it, like, I want to be that fucking confident. I'm like, man, yeah, scoopity poop. Yeah, yeah, nigga, it's a classic.
Bang that shit. We go, play it out. No, that's real.
But yeah, man. So I got a buddy coming out with a new podcast, and I'm gonna do the intro music on that. I think I'm gonna redo my intro music. I might actually do some bars on that one. I'm feeling artistic these days. People keep asking me if, you know, people who knew I rapped and, like, listened to the music I used to make back in the day, like, man, you need to do something. You need to you know, show these kids, or you need to, you know, bring hip hop back or whatever. Like, first of all, you think way too highly of me. Second of all, if you put that on me, it is never getting done. Like, if I make an album, it's got to be just, I ain't had shit to do. I was super inspired, and all the right people was around me at the moment, and we just crank something out. The moment it becomes work or something I'm supposed to do, or I got to save the world with this album, nah, bro, it ain't happening.
Yeah. No, yeah. And I think you should make it where, like, the music is fun, right? Like, it's fun for you. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, all right, man, I appreciate the conversation. I think this has been a good one, you know, breaking down some hip-hop stuff. Like I said, I feel like the world needed some perspective, or just needed to hear some people have fun with this. Like, nothing is ever that serious. And I hope Royce and Lupe are good. Ain't going to be no bloodshed from this one.
No.
Hopefully nobody in Detroit or Chicago is getting too amped about this. But
no.
But yeah, man, I'm let you get out of here, man. You got anything you want to share with the folks?
Listen, people, I appreciate y'all. We have heard the rumblings for bringing Saturday Series back. We want to bring Saturday Series back, but Saturday Series, as it is, it's a podcast. It's a story-driven podcast. So what that means is people have to submit their stories for the podcast to live. We got a couple episodes, but not enough to make a season. So I'm gonna use this. This is like a we use this like a pledge drive episode. We could be like, if you're out there and you had a wild experience as a child or a teen or your college years or even now as a parent, tell us. Come go to Sat Series Pod on Twitter and get all the info that you need there. And outside of that, man, no, keep doing what y'all doing. I love What Is TWS. I just, believe it or not, before this, I know that y'all can't see this. I had on a What Is TWS t-shirt, and then I went outside to go get groceries, and it poured down rain on me. So I had to switch shirts. But I was like, oh, snap, yeah, this is a great timing. Oh, it's raining. But yes, go buy merch. Go buy your What Is TWS merch. I need some more myself. The streets need it. And that's it, man.
Well, I appreciate you, man. Yeah, I'm trying to push these shirts. WhatIsTWS.com. It's still the summer of the algorithm, so coupon code algorithm will get you 20% off your entire order. As usual, I plug my homies. Zaya Fitness. I almost forgot it. Zaya Fitness on Instagram. If you're looking to get your nutrition or your fitness goals going, hit up my man Zaya Fitness, Z-A-Y-A-H Fitness on Instagram. He can get you where you need to be. TTCharities.org, looking for ways to be impactful, looking for ways to clean up, you know, these cities. As Lupe and Royce have both alluded to, TT Charities is a great place to start. They always got something going on. Donate what you can, time, money, books, clothes, a like, a repost, a retweet. It all goes a long way. And I also wanted to mention, if you go on my social media, you'll see posts from me, you know, several over the last year plus from a homie of mine who his kids are missing. His two little girls have been missing for more than 500 days. So yeah, you know, check it out. I think it's Sky and for some reason I'm drawing a blank on the other little girl's name, but you'll see the post on my social media. If you have any information, you know, please reach out to authorities. You know, help connect the father with his children. 500 days, I can't imagine, you know, what that must be like. So thoughts and prayers, all the positive vibes I can send go out to you. But yeah, with that said, you know, until we speak again, be safe, be easy, be the light. And I love y'all. I think this is going to be my reoccurring, I guess, ending music. So, whatever. Peace. Love y'all.
Last call for alcohol. Yeah. If this is it, like if this is the last joint, if this is the last hurrah, it's the last call for alcohol, baby. I gotta say, whether you knew it or not, pretty much at the finest bar establishment, the finest spirits and libations y'all could have had, baby. You might realize it now, you might have realized it back then, you might realize it later. Love.